Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. Ooh-wee, that was a weird reading. You know, before I read the gospel, I silently say a prayer that I read it in such a way that, you know, you hear the messages. God wants you to hear it. And then, you know, we all pray before the sermon for the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and put the fire of God's love in us. And before I start to write a sermon, I ask God to inspire my thoughts and direct my writings. And this week it was like, oh, please give me something to say. But I do. I write praying that the Holy Spirit is the one inspiring my writing. Because, you know, this preaching is serious business. And this morning, I am preaching to myself, and you all get to listen in. Our scripture readings make me feel like I need to go attend a class on ancient agricultural practices and old economics and financial systems. You know, God's plan for the stewardship of the land and crops and the financial structures and how loans were managed for the Israelites that's found in our readings, well, they were not presented in any of the financial or economic courses that I took. And I don't see them in Fortune magazine or talked about on CNN either. You know, God's system was designed to take care of the less fortunate and the poor and on forgiving debts. And I think when we see this increasing gap between the rich and the poor today, we can say that, well, God's system isn't in place. God's system is designed for the benefit of everyone, regardless of who we are and where we're from, how much we've accomplished, obtained, or inherited, or how much we don't have. You know, and as it said, we said in the Bible study between services, you know, God's parameters are not the same as a capitalistic society. So it's going to be different. And God doesn't judge worthiness or success the way that we do. You know, people aren't less worthy in God's eyes if they have none of what society uses to judge people as worthy. You know, God's ways are in stark contrast to so many of the world's ways. So I don't know about you guys, but these readings brought up some tension and discomfort, especially, you know, for me and for, I think, for all the rest of us who consider ourselves comfortable. But then I'm thinking, I'm not that comfortable. I drive an old car. I'm in debt to school for my graduate degree. The bank really owns my house, if I'm honest. But I know I am comfortable compared to so many. We all are. And it doesn't take more than a few moments of walking or driving out of our parking lot to see those who have less than us. Oh, but imagine if the loan officers were like God in our parable and said, just pay me what you owe me. Don't worry about the interest. You know, Jesus's parables often refer to laws found in the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Leviticus. And that's the same source for our first reading in Amos's prophecy. The people listening then to Amos and to Jesus understood exactly what he was referring to, that God's plan for society was based on compassion. And Jesus is reminding his listeners then and us now that God does care very much about how we manage our wealth and how we care for those that are less privileged than us. And the issues of how we live together, you know, our everyday ways of getting along, can reflect God's priority of compassion or not. Now, I want to be really, really clear that I am absolutely not going to tell anybody how to think or what to do. And I'm certainly not going to give anybody financial or business advice. But I am placing before myself and anyone else who wants to hear God's message an invitation to be in the uncomfortable tension of figuring this all out. It can be tricky figuring out the balance of living with the knowledge of God's design while we also belong to a world that is structured so differently and only rarely supports God's ways. Now, when I say God's design, you might think, what is she talking about? I mean God's heart and God's love for each and every one of us and for the least of us, exactly the same as God loves everyone. And I'm talking about the things God has shown throughout the ages of how to make the desires of his heart a reality in this world, in our time now, in our lives today. You know, we make God's desire for compassion real as we act compassionately towards all people, no differences whatsoever taken into account. God wants compassionate treatment for everyone. Now, you know, I'm not, like I said, no economic or financial lecture, and I am certainly not going to try to explain ancient agricultural concepts. So I'm going to have us pray our colic again out loud, because this is the point of all those readings. So get your insert. All right, so please join me. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast that shall endure, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, never and ever. Amen. Don't be anxious about earthly things, but love heavenly things. And while around us things are passing away, to hold fast to that will endure. And what will endure? What are these heavenly things? Well, you know, we're now back to God's heart, God's essence, God's character. We're back at compassion and love. It's always, always love because God is love. Not be anxious about earthly things? Are you kidding me? This is what I'm preaching to myself this morning. I have always been someone who worried, even as a little kid, and I struggle with anxiety today. And during the time of discernment before ordained ministry, we all had to take 9 hours of psychological testing. Well, I got the highest score in the category of feeling great responsibility. On a good day, I think that means I'm really good at being in charge of stuff. But honestly, and more accurately, it means I'm anxious about a lot of stuff, my own stuff, and so much more. Can anybody else relate worrying about things? Mm-hmm. So how do all of you not be anxious about earthly things and love things heavenly when we are stuck smack in the middle of earthly things? And are earthly things and heavenly things mutually exclusive? No. No, we know it's all interconnected. And living a life balancing both earthly and heavenly concerns, following God's way, well, it can be pretty inconvenient, it can be challenging, and it may not be the most profitable way to live according to society's standards. And we know we can't separate earthly from the heavenly, even when we wish we could. Because everything earthly will pass away. We've experienced this when something or someone important is gone. And God tells us to hold fast to that which will endure. And we've all learned through our losses what endures and what's really important. It's the love that we shared. When we love as much as possible and we spend as much as we possibly can, using all our resources for the betterment of others, yes, our money and our energy and our time and our intellect and our love and our presence, just being near someone, we know we are focused on what endures. And here's where the real work begins. What do each of us need to let pass away so we can more fully live in God's system of love? What do we need to let go of to have more of what we need to serve God and each other with compassion? Could it be a missed opportunity or a lost dream that really wasn't destined for us anyways, and we're still holding on to it and not moving forward, living in the past rather than the present? Could it be a relationship or the hope we had for a relationship that isn't what we actually have, and it's getting in the way of loving that person now? Could it be a viewpoint or an opinion that's keeping us away from living inside God's social structure of loving even the least among us? You know, God invites all of us into this wondering, into a conversation with God about how we can love more fully. Because following Jesus requires a reorientation of our priorities. And the transformation comes when we move into intentional loving, the kind of loving that God requests, and it just may conflict with what the things are that we're worried about or hold on to, or may conflict with what our culture tells us is most important. You know, transformation to be more Christ-like, well, it's not easy. And Scripture presents how God wants us to live. And God's instructions address a wide range of issues. Some are faith-based, some are religious, and some address financial, political, personal, and communal issues. And Jesus lived by all those rules. During Jesus' time and now, 2,000 years later, we're still struggling to live following God's ways. Now, you may be thinking, well, we aren't held to all those laws in Leviticus. We aren't ancient Israelites. But before you breathe a big sigh of relief, we have even broader guidelines to follow. Because Jesus focused on the summary of all those laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus, the incarnation of God, who demonstrated who God is through his teaching and through how he lived his life to the very last minute of his life, was all about following God and loving everyone he encountered. And we, as Jesus' followers, were invited to love as God loves, with unconditional compassion. We are invited to love God and live with all the challenges that come along with following God. And we're invited to love others with all the challenges inherent in loving and living with others. And we're to love ourselves as we are now and as we're transformed into better lovers. And this is sometimes for many of us the tricky part. We're asked to develop love for ourselves because God loves us and God created us out of love and He's given us everything. And it's only when we have enough love within ourselves as individuals and as a community do we have anything to give away and effectively love others. That's why we get together here. That's why we gather as a community to worship God and be fed the spiritual food we need, to offer hope to each other, to help each other, to inspire and love each other into being better followers of Jesus, better lovers. Is living within God's design difficult when we're so concerned about earthly things? Yeah, often it can be, and at least it is for me. Is it worth it to keep our hearts and minds focused on heavenly things while we struggle here in the midst of our earthly concerns? Well, definitely, it sure is for me. Moment by moment, I let go of my grip, and I let God hold me up. So from love, I'm inviting and encouraging all of us, including me, and I sure hope I'm listening, to hold fast to what will endure. Compassion, kindness, acceptance, forgiveness, mercy, grace, and the love that passes all understanding that comes from Jesus Christ. And this part I really, really, really need to hear. And to let go of everything that isn't on that list. Amen.